Jim Packard sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we switch gears and we start talking about pairing award-winning cheeses and award-winning beers. And here in the studio, we have Sarah Hill, who's the Culinary Director of Cheese Education for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Sarah, it is a pleasure to have you with us today. Thanks very much for coming by.
My pleasure.
And Randy Sprecher is the founder and head brewmaster of the Sprecher Brewing Company at Glendale, Wisconsin. Randy, it's a pleasure to see you.
My pleasure also, Jim. Nice making your acquaintance.
And we will soon have on the telephone Lucy Saunders of Shorewood, the author of three cookbooks, including The Best of American Beer and Food. Her website is grillingwithbeer.com. Randy's website is spreckerbrewery.com. And Sarah's website is wisdairy.com, so you can find out all about cheese, beer, and cooking with beer and food at those websites. Established in 1985, Sprecher is Milwaukee's first brewery since Prohibition, and it's hosting another Taste and Learn session of Tasting Synergies, Dispelling Myths, Wednesday evening, December 10th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the brewery, which is located at 701 West Glendale Avenue in Glendale, outside of Milwaukee. Randy, what goes on during these evenings?
Well, we've had a couple preliminary cheese tastings with beer, and a lot of it is explanation about the various complexities of different types of cheese, which are very very much mastered here in the state of Wisconsin. Hardly anybody really knows about it. It's the beer has broken through the barriers here many years earlier, breaking away from the large breweries with the craft effort and more creative and experimental beers. But all along, the cheese people have been mastering their trades many years, decades actually. It takes 10 years for a master cheese person to even take the first test.
Mm-hmm.
And then constantly retested, and I'm sure Sarah can offer more details about that. But you're going to find if you've had the opportunity to travel to France or Italy, the cheese quality is right there. It's absolutely fabulous. And, of course, we're trying to match up synergies between the complexities of beer, the complexities of cheese, and finding ways to make your taste buds and your aroma factors, everything else, work, again, a synergy that just is something above and beyond the cheese sandwich, the pizza, or the string cheese. You know, this is quite a bit beyond that.
Mm-hmm. So we've got eight cheeses from Wisconsin will be paired with eight beers from Sprecher during this evening on the 10th of December.
That's correct.
And people can find out, they can make their reservations online at spreckerbrewery.com, or they can call 414-964-2739. And the cheeses will be from some great cheesemakers, Carr Valley, Roth Case, Widmer, Sartori, Uplands, paired with eight beers from your company. Have you always been a beer maker, brewmaster?
Well, I've been a brewer for about since 1970. I had the opportunity to start in Bavaria because I was stationed there in the military, and because I worked for General Headquarters, I was able to travel quite a bit and work extra to make up for my time away. And so people talk about Belgian beers, German beers, all these other opportunities. I was there doing it in the 60s, and on my return to U.S., I was originally in oceanography school, but started as a home brewer because I wasn't too partial to the American beers, and I couldn't afford the imports. And so I figured I might have to learn how to make these things myself. And it's been a long process of experimentation, learning, and practice.
All right. Randy Sprecher, Sarah Hill, and on the phone with us now is Lucy Saunders. And Lucy, hi.
Hello, everybody. It's nice to be on the show.
And I know the three of you will be together for this evening at the brewery at 701 West Glendale Avenue in Glendale, December 10th. That is a Wednesday night. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. at the brewery. And I know that you have, in addition to Grilling with Beer and your other books that you have a brand new book out, Lucy.
Yes, it's called The Best of American Beer and Food, and there's a whole chapter in it devoted to pairing craft beer with specialty cheeses. And that particular chapter inspired me to reach out to both craft brewers and retailers and cheese experts from across the country talking about some of their favorite pairings and how they approach putting together even something like a holiday platter for Thanksgiving or Christmas holidays.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of opportunities for entertaining and creating a tasting at home that can be a lot of fun.
Well, I've just been handed the best of American beer and food pairing and cooking with craft beer. And so look forward to going through it and I presume making some of the recipes that you've included, such as the lamb chops with the roasted fennel and the portobello mushroom risotto.
Mm-hmm. But a very easy recipe for entertaining is in that cheese chapter, and it's actually one developed with the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. And it's a really fun, simple fritter made with tiny cubes of Gruyere cheese, either grated or cubed, and you get such a wonderful light texture for this fritter. And you can use a little bit of beer in the batter as well to lighten it up if you like. It's the recipe calls for serving it in romaine lettuce cups.
Mm-hmm.
But the fritters are wonderful. You can make them ahead of time and then just pop them in a 400-degree oven to crisp them up again right before serving.
Sarah Hill, Culinary Director of Cheese Education for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. We've not met you before.
No.
Tell me a little bit about what you've been doing with the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board.
Well, I moved here from Minneapolis. I was in the cheese business for over 25 years, and they wanted me to live in Madison to take this job. And really, I just spread the word of the amazing Wisconsin award-winning cheeses. I do this all over the country with our regional, both retail and food service people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been amazed to find out, living here now and loving it, that people in our own backyard in Wisconsin don't have any idea of the quality of cheese that is available coming out of Wisconsin that are rivaling European cheeses. And we win more awards than any other state or country in the world. So it's a pretty exciting place to be in the cheese business.
Well, I know one of the focuses of the evening on the 10th of December is the role of terroir in making these products unique to Wisconsin. Let's talk a little bit about that, too. Next.
Well, the word terroir means kind of where the product comes from. It's all about the land and the geography and all the factors of the land. Wisconsin, with the incredible glaciated soil that we have, the amount of wonderful wildflowers, there's incredible grasses that are grown, and the over 16,000 farm families, many of those are using products of the earth, the grass. They're making their own feed from local grains of all kinds to feed those cows, which create this amazing milk, which 90% goes into our wonderful cheeses. And what we found out, as Lucy will contest you too, and Randy, is that these products, beer and cheese, are both products of the land, and they're very much reflected by what is going on the land. Beer starting with grain, obviously the cow's milk starting with grain and grass, and they really just totally complement each other, especially the quality that is, you know, all these products are from our own state, and they really reflect what's going on here. And if you took products from another state, they'd be totally different because of the kind of terroir that we have in Wisconsin.
Randy, if you moved your operations to the UP, would your beer taste the same?
It would, because of our use of the Lake Michigan water profile, which is what drove all the large breweries to Milwaukee to begin with. If you had a similar system of processing, you would still have the same salt profile, which is what we call a very buffered system. So regardless of the season, the amount of rain or ice, the profiles remain very much in balance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main thing, because we still use the great supply of malted products from Wisconsin and Minnesota. And, of course, we do buy from Europe as well for malted barley and wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Hops, would be a little different thing. They're all shipped in. We've had difficulty with hops in this state. It isn't quite hot enough, really, to get a good finish on hops. In this country, most of them are from Oregon and Washington, a very good volume. There are small amounts in Idaho and California as well, but the big commercial operations and the size of hop yards that make them productively profitable precludes these other smaller things. However, I am working on a small hop effort in Central Coast of California at present. Tried some last year and again this year. So outside of that, it's just the yeast culture, and that's available anywhere. It can be shipped from labs or other proprietary yeast culture sources.
Talking with Randy Sprecher of the Sprecher Brewing Company, Glendale, with Sarah Hill, Culinary Director, Cheese Education for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, and Lucy Saunders of Shorewood is the author of three cookbooks, including The Best of American Beer and Food. It's brand new. You can find out more at grillingwithbeer.com. We have some combinations that we will be tasting and pairing in the next half hour or so. If you have a question or a comment, all you have to do is call us at 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. I know you brought in a Doppelbock to pair with a Gouda cheese. Let's talk about your Doppelbock for a moment.
Well, it's a seasonally available product, as it would be available in Germany as well and some other countries. It's a rather hearty malt lager. It has admittedly alcohol up to 8%, but you really can't tell because of its aging and smoothness. It has, again, a wonderful malt, complex malt profile. As it warms, you should get other elements in the bouquet from the fermentation. Some very typically is a little touch of fruitiness that accompanies that malt. And is like many things, like these cheese, very often people get to a basic level of description. Beyond that, it's up to the individual to discern what they find that point that's prominent in their own sensory realm. You know, it's anytime you have a complex thing, everyone can come up with a different explanation of what they're encountering right then.
That's true.
And it's really variable as far as what you've eaten before and your own attitude at that moment and so on.
We have to break for the news. We're going to catch up on what's going on in the world, and then we're going to come back and talk with Sarah Hill, Lucy Saunders, and Randy Sprecher as we talk about pairing award-winning cheeses and beers here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Jim Packard, sitting in for Larry Mueller, who's jealous today that he's not here because we're talking about pairing award-winning cheeses and beers. The beer is brought by Randy Sprecher of Glendale, the founder and head brewmaster of the Sprecher Brewing Company in Glendale, Wisconsin. Randy, again, thank you very much for coming to Madison.
Well, we're certainly pleased to have the opportunity.
And Sarah Hill, Culinary Director of Cheese Education for the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. More about their work at wisdairy.com. And Sarah, it's a pleasure to meet you and have you here in studio.
Thank you so much.
And Lucy Saunders of Shorewood is the author of The Best of American Beer and Food. Lucy, thanks for being on the phone with us today.
Thanks so much, Jim.
And I just would ask you, are there cheeses more suited to the holidays than other cheeses, Lucy?
I think it depends on your budget and what you have in mind for your guests. I mm-hmm. think that you can find a cheese for every different budget and every occasion. I had mentioned the fritters made with Wisconsin Gruyere cheese as a good example of how you can take a small amount of cheese and stretch that flavor through incorporating it into the batter and serve a large number of guests. I'm also a big fan of serving a holiday platter of assorted cheeses with what I call bridge ingredients. And those are things like roasted nuts that would echo the toasted flavor of dark barley malt
mm-hmm.
or dried raisins or oven-roasted plums that would echo some of those fruit flavors from the yeast esters in the beer. And those extra additions terms of like sides to the tasting, help create a bridge between the flavors of the beer and the flavors of the cheese. So I think that that can be a really nice way to kind of extend the tasting and also highlight some ingredients that people might not have considered. Another great side is honey. Wisconsin honey drizzled over a little bit of blue cheese can really be a phenomenal pairing with perhaps, say, the Abbey Triple.
Sounds great. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's easy to do. 1-800-642-1234. Our first pairing includes this Gouda and the Sprecher Doppelbach. And it's just a great combination. First of all, the Doppelbach, despite its name, is a very smooth beer. Very smooth. You mentioned it has about an 8% alcohol content, but doesn't have a real strong flavor to it.
Well, the flavor, of course, I think is more apparent on a little bit of more warming than average very cold beers. And the smoothness, of course, is because it's extensive aging. Ideally, Doppelbach would be not less than 3 months, but up to probably 6 months of age, and can last quite a while in the bottle as well because of that strength. So people can buy some and lay it down and enjoy it over a longer period of time than lighter styles. Light color does not mean that the beer can't be aged as well, as our Abbey Triple is also about a 7.5 alcohol Belgian style. And it can be good if properly stored, it's like wines, a year and a half to 2 years.
Mm-hmm. You first started making this Doppelbach just a couple of years ago, did you not?
Actually, we've been making it for a good number of years.
Have you?
We did modify the recipe of late to bump the alcohol a slight amount to the 8%. And this seems to bring more of the malts in focus after the proper aging period and gives us that really excellent malt flavor and balance that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, in pairing the Gouda with the Doppelbach, talk about the synergy that you see there.
Well, the biggest rule of thumb is you don't want one to overwhelm the other, the beer, the cheese. If you're doing wine and cheese, you want them to kind of complement each other. In some cases, you can do extremes that complement each other. But the almost sweet, really sweet kind of caramely flavors of that Doppelbach really complemented, as you probably found out with that fenugreek Gouda. The Gouda is just sweet and kind of light caramel by itself. And then with the added spice of the fenugreek, it just gives a wonderful kind of caramely party going on in your mouth with all those wonderful flavors complementing each other. It's just one of those pairs. It's like, wow, you know when you find one of those. So that's a great one.
Let's take some calls. We'll start with Michael in New Berlin. Michael, what's on your mind?
Hey, well, first of all, I want to thank you for the show. It's fantastic. I'm also a home brewer. I've been doing it about a year. But my comment, she mentioned the Wisconsin honey over Gouda. You can also, blue cheese, I'm sorry, you can also use maple syrup over either Brick, Colby, or Cheddar.
Absolutely.
And they're also Wisconsin products. I found out by accident I was at a maple syrup festival, and the cheese was there, and some maple syrup dripped down, and I go, ooh, I don't think it's going to be any good, and then I loved it. So that's my comment.
All right. Thanks very much. We appreciate hearing from you. And if you'd like to join in, the number is 1-800-642-1234. What is this next pairing that we have, the Hooks Blue with the black?
No, let's save the blue to the end.
Okay.
Let's do the Pleasant Ridge Reserve.
All right, the Pleasant Ridge Reserve with the Pub Ale. Let's talk about the beer first.
Well, the Pub Ale is a British brown ale. It's something that's very what we would call quaffable beer. It doesn't have a real strong aftertaste. It doesn't have any hop bite or bitterness. It's and for my money, I'd like to have that served rather low on the gas to get the malt flavors and the fruit of fermentation again. And it's just generally a pleasant, easily consumed beer. And because of the darker malts, but without the strong dark malt flavors, it lends itself to a lot of cheeses that are well balanced, mild, without any what we might call spikes in flavor or character. And what they've paired it with here is the Pleasant Ridge Reserve is certainly one of those types of cheese that goes down very easily as well. And of course, most things we're talking about here is not consuming in any kind of volume, but more kind of mashing around your palate with the cheese and warming it up and trying to release its flavors and so forth. I think Sarah wants to make a comment about the cheese.
Well, certainly.
Well, I was going to ask Lucy. Lucy, that's one of your favorite combinations. Why don't you comment on that, and then I'll talk about the cheese.
Yeah, I do. I do really like it. I think the pub brown ale is the sort of liquid equivalent of, you know, a really nice dark toasted piece of bread. I mean, it's got that malt breadiness that makes it very versatile with different kinds of cheeses. And the Pleasant Ridge Reserve, I think, has a lot of depth. And this is a cheese made from pasture-grazed cows. And so the milk that goes into this cheese is from probably the spring, and, you know, a lot of fresh floral grassy notes that do get translated into the final product. It's made in the Beaufort style, and it's a cheese of great subtlety and depth and flavor, and definitely needs to be served at room temperature for the full bouquet and flavor of the cheese to come out. I actually also like using one of those cheese planes to shave very thin slices of this cheese,
mm-hmm.
and that way it's almost coats the tongue and melts on the palate, and then you have a sip of that pub brown ale, and it just kind of lifts all of that buttery notes.
Yeah, it says, Lucy said, the grass grazing. This cheese is probably, in many ways, the poster child of Wisconsin artisanal cheese. Mike and Carol Gingrich in Dodgeville only make one cheese, but this cheese has set a lot of records. It's won Best of Show at American Cheese Society twice, and its existence, which is only about, I think, 8-10 years. It's just rotational grazing he does. He has many different breeds of cows. I mean, he's really done this cheese totally, totally right. And the flavors that it has, the complexities, it's just one of those cheeses you just have to, like, let sit on your tongue and let all these flavors go on in your mouth. And then, as Lucy said, that wonderful combination of the beer kind of lifting that and combining those two flavors together. In your mouth, it's an amazing combination.
It is. It does have the greatest flavor profile of any cheese that I've tasted recently.
Yeah, it's incredible.
You know, after it sits there a while and works its magic, it's really very, very, very good.
Yeah, it's an amazing cheese.
Let's take a call from Lori in Franklin. Hi, Lori. What's on your mind?
Hi. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm calling because I have a very plebeian taste. I don't like things that, well, let me just go right to it. I like to drink Sprecher Black Bavarian beer, to which I add Sprecher root beer.
Wow.
I'll leave it up to people what proportions of which they want to try. But
Randy is still sitting.
I've heard this combination and I've tried it myself. I quite enjoy mixing and matching and a little experimenting with the sodas. Another instance is adding our ginger ale to a variety of things to spike up that ginger side. But also one little extra spice in our palate that some people don't find appealing. And this caller obviously has that sense in that particular realm there that flips her switch.
And Lori, you pair this with yogurt cheese?
Oh yeah, I'm looking right at it. It's Maple Leaf Cheese Co-op. Are
yes,
you familiar?
Yes, Monroe. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. It's a yogurt semi-soft cheese, and ooh. That is so good. I just had to, you know, restrain myself from eating a whole chunk. But I'm going to be serving it on a little toothpicks Thanksgiving, just to, you know.
Well, it's certainly pleasant weather out there, so you can take a nice trip around the block very briskly with your outfit on. And that Maple Leaf is another well-known, respected name in the cheese making in Wisconsin. They're very high quality.
Are they in the organic, the Kickapoo Valley area, those people?
Monroe,
mm-hmm. not really. Then okay,
right?
Because I like to patronize Kickapoo Valley area because I want to see them get up and going again.
Well, absolutely. Yes, but you can't ignore and forget about Monroe, which has been a cheese capital for so many years.
Okay, I won't do that.
All right, Lori, thank you very much for the call. And if you'd like to get your question answered, we have lines open for you at 1-800-642-1234. Our email address, talk@wpr.org. Lucy, let me ask you, you've been part of the these sessions in the past, have you not? The Tasting Synergies, Dispelling Myths?
Yes, I have. I've actually been doing craft beer and cheese tasting since 1992, so I have a lot of background in doing them.
And talk about what will happen then on this night of Wednesday evening, December 10th. What is the sort of standard operating process?
Well, I think Randy can talk about that as well. The Sprecher Brewery has a wonderful tasting room that's a special event space, and it's set up with tables, and Sarah Hill has organized typically the progression of the cheeses in terms of the intensity of flavor. So we set up a tasting plate with the first cheese at 12 o'clock, and then the sample portions are, you taste them in order as you sort of move around the plate. And there will be a few sides, like sliced bread and things like that. And I think that the tasting itself, you want to give people time to really appreciate the flavors. And it's also a sociable event. A lot of people bring their friends, bring their family, and talk at the table. So it's very casual. It's not a lecture where you'll need to take notes. Mm-hmm. Although there's certainly a lot of people who love the pairings and do want to keep notes, so there is a tasting sheet provided.
Oh, that's excellent.
And we love the participation of people too. They all have stories or, you know, things that they've tried, and so it's very fun.
Mm-hmm. Now there are 8 cheeses and 8 beers that'll be paired during the evening over a 2-hour period. So there's plenty of time to enjoy everything, correct, right?
Oh, yes. Absolutely, and actually it's quite the bargain. Talking about the talk of the patrons, we've noticed that this sometimes really gets going, and it's because there's the exploratory thing going on here and new sensations, and you can tell that they're exchanging their input of how it struck them. And after which, things kind of calm down a little bit, and it's time for some questions. And so we try to get a pace going that is commensurate with the audience. And like most things, some people are a little more experienced than others at this. Some people are going to find some cheeses are absolutely new and pretty much explode on their palate. They may not find them palatable the first time. I don't think these are necessarily an acquired taste so much as one that if you get the right temperature and textures going, it becomes apparent what we're trying to accomplish and offer you to explore.
So far, we've been talking about the Gouda, is it the Mareike?
Mareike.
Mareike.
Yes.
Fenugreek.
Fenugreek Gouda.
Fenugreek,
yes.
Gouda, paired with a Doppelbach. And we've talked about the Crave Brothers, Les Frères, and
that's
the Abbey
one you believe
Triple.
You just tried the Les
mm-hmm.
Frères, yes.
And our next one would be the Pleasant Ridge with the Pub Ale.
Right, that's the one we just tried. Now, the last cheese you tried was Le Frere. We have not talked about that pairing.
Oh, we haven't.
No, we haven't done the Hooks Blue with
the
Black Lagrange.
We're going to save the blue
until
the end.
Right, that's going to save it until the end. So we've got 2 cheeses left to try.
The Le Frere, which is Crave Brothers' version of a Wash Rhine cheese. The Wash Rhine cheeses originated in France and Belgium.
And they're in Waterloo, aren't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a farm set operation. They have over 800 animals, and there are cows, and their cheese making plant is also on their farm. They're truly an example of sustainability in farming and cheese making. This cheese is very unique. It's a brie type paste, so it's very creamy and rich. This one is perfectly ripe, so you can tell that it's kind of oozing at room temperature. And the rind is kind of pinkish, kind of sticky, and that's because the rind has been treated with a bacteria culture, which causes the cheese to age and to ripen and give it a wonderful, fruity, full flavor. This is one of the cheeses that you find out who the true cheese aficionado. Even though I think it's very mild, some people try this flavor and say, whoa, that's really strong. But again, just like blue cheeses, it's an acquired flavor. So you want a beer that will complement that kind of more full fruity flavor. Randy, you want to comment about our pairing?
Well, this is with the our Belgian style Abbey Triple, and again, it's one of those that has a particular culture and production style, and it comes in around 7.5 alcohol as a rule. It varies a little slightly. Mm-hmm. It's not really noticeable alcohol. It's a lighter type of a product with a little more fruitiness and a touch of sweet finish. And I'm just noticing also that my sample of the Black Bavarian to my palate has just become warm enough to really accentuate itself. And now with this triple and this cheese, it's hard to get everything just right. Sometimes you want to be just under the temperature with both cheese and beer and let it warm slightly right through your most erogenous zone for that particular consumer. So everyone might have a little different level where it actually hits. So it's best to serve things a little on the cool side, let them as you converse, and once they get used to knowing where it's at, just like feeling your beer, you go, oh, that's the perfect temperature for this style, and you begin to enjoy the most pleasure that you can obtain from it. The cheese here is just a little bit on the cool side. As it warms in my hand here, now I can begin to get more and more of those great flavors and the complexity that they've put into this effort to make this with the rind and everything else. And, gosh, we won't need to go to lunch if we keep this up.
And I just wanted to add, it is really important to serve your cheeses room temperature. Beers are a little bit different, but you will get the full flavors of the cheese. You can even put them out an hour before. Just cover them so they don't dry up.
Yeah. In fact, it's easier to cut the cheese when it's cold and then put them on your platter. Cover it with a little piece of plastic wrap. And you can also lightly oil the plastic wrap, or you can use parchment paper. That's kind of the classic covering for cheeses, and it lets it warm up, and then you'll be just so surprised how much more flavor develops when it's warm.
I was going to make the observation that I think that a lot of people make the mistake of pulling the cheese out of the refrigerator and then just trying to, you know, not waiting at all for it to warm
exactly.
up and serving. Let's take a couple of calls. And Sandy from Madison asks, speaking of the Kickapoo Valley area, are there any combinations that include Mount Sterling goat cheese varieties?
Lucy, why don't you comment on that?
Yeah, I'm very fond of the Mount Sterling goat cheeses, and I think that they can go very well with different styles of beer. And I think that there are some beers that, for example, some of the lighter Pilsner styles, I think, can taste very crisp and refreshing with the acidity of the goat's milk cheese. Now, there's also a trend now towards creating mixed milk cheeses. Sid Carr of Carr Valley Cheese Company has been a real pioneer in making mixed milk cheeses with either goat's and sheep's milk in addition to cow's milk. Other dairies are doing so as well. One of the cheeses that's going to be featured at the December 10th event is the Nordic Creamery Caprico, which is a mixed milk cheese.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Kurt and Poinette, let's give you a chance. What is your question?
Hello. Enjoying the discussion. Here's a question for the panel. This weekend, I'll be brewing a Cloche Golden Ale, one of my favorite brews I've been doing on and off for 20 years. So what would you pair with this ale once it's ready to drink in, say, 6 weeks or so?
Oh, I love the Kolsch style. I'm a big fan of that style. I would actually pair it with something like that Nordic Creamery Caprico, where you've got a little tanginess from the goat's milk. And I'd put alongside it some sides such as dried apricots some oven-roasted plums to kind of play off of the sweetness of that golden ale style. Really, Kolsch is one of those really immensely versatile beer styles, and you can also pair it with some of the washed rind cheeses. For example, an aged Breck. Widmer's in Teresa, Wisconsin makes a wonderful aged Breck, and I think that tastes wonderful with a Kolsch style too.
We're getting down to the last 2 minutes of the show, so we've got one pairing remaining, the Hook's Blue and the Black Bavarian. Let's talk about that. First of all, the beer.
Well, this is one of our all-time favorites at Sprecher. I've been making this for 38 years, and it's got just about the right temperature in my cup now, because this has it's a traditionally a Kumbacher style. It's very hearty with the dark malts and so forth, but not being burnt or anything like a stout. It has more I would call it more like a. It starts out younger with more little coffee notes. Then you get like the bitter dark Belgian chocolate, and finishing more with a. I'm gonna leave it up to you, Jim. We've been commenting. I wonder how this attacks your palate.
I need to talk about the cheese next. While I enjoy this.
Yeah, you let us
the
know.
Hook's Blue.
Hook's Blue. Many of you probably know Tony and Julie Hook from the Farmer's Market.
Mm-hmm.
They make a wonderful collection of cheeses, mostly cheddars and blue cheeses. This blue is just a wonderful, mellow, slightly salty, but not, you know, just perfectly salted, but wonderful creamy background. This is one of those combinations where you've got the full flavor, the sweetness, and you're kind of counterbalancing it, the saltiness, and you're kind of counterbalancing it,
Sarah,
with a beer.
I have misread the clock, and we're
yes.
running out of time.
Oh, no.
I want to make sure that they know that reservations for this evening of December 10th can be made online at SpreckerBrewery.com. And thanks to Sarah Hill, Lucy Saunders, Randy Sprecher for being here today to talk about the great cheeses and beers of Wisconsin.